In 2017, the Navy's busy 7th Fleet was the scene of four serious accidents that studies have blamed on an overworked crew members with insufficient training. For 2018, the Navy says it can't promise a decrease in operational demands, but at the very least, it owes sailors more predictable schedules and more reasonable work hours. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has the latest.
Changes that are already going into effect mostly have to do with sleep. The commander of the service's surface fleet has already issued new rules ordering ship commanding officers to make sure that sailors' duty schedules are arranged in such a way to let sailors sleep in cycles that follow the human body's circadian rhythm, resting and working during roughly the same times each day. While each CO has some latitude in implementing the new rules, the guidance tells them they should aim to give each sailor at least 7 hours of sleep per day, including a minimum of 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep. The instructions point out that not sleeping on a regular schedule tends to leave people in a sort of permanent state of jet lag. The new rules also incorporate U.S. Coast Guard guidance suggesting shipboard workdays of no more than 12 hours each, and pre-existing rules from the Navy's own aviation community based on studies that showed accident rates skyrocketed when personnel were awake for 18 hours or more at a time. According to the Government Accountability Office, some 7th Fleet sailors were working up to 108-hour work weeks in the years leading up to the 2017 accidents, which included two deadly collisions, one non-fatal collision, and one grounding. As GAO's John Pendleton told a House committee in September, the work hours were just one symptom of an overstretched fleet.
In fact, we were told that the overseas-based ships were so busy that they had to train on the margins, a term I'd not heard before. And it was explained to me that meant that they had to squeeze training in when they could. Given the concerns, we recommended to the Navy carefully analyze the risks that were mounting, especially given the plan to increase overseas basing in the future to meet the demands.
Navy officials have quibbled with the 108-hour statistic, but the service's own comprehensive review examining the John McCain and Fitzgerald accidents confirmed last month that sailors aboard 21 out of the 22 ships in the Japan-based fleet had shown troubling rates of complaints about exhaustion, high stress, and lack of sleep in official Navy surveys. The review said one contributing factor was manning shortfalls of between 15 and 20% in some enlisted specialties. Speaking to sailors aboard the USS Ronald Reagan in Yokosuka, Japan, Admiral John Richardson, the Chief of Naval Operations, said the service will be taking additional steps to give service members more predictability in their work lives beyond their daily duty schedules.
Things are going to stay busy. We're always going to have a lot more mission than we have ships. I mean, that's just the nature of the business. But what we owe you, and part of the corrective action that we are undertaking, is that we owe you a firm and deliberate schedule for the next year, right? Something that is predictable, you can bank on, you can schedule to, you can get school scheduled, leave scheduled, whatever. And that schedule has got to include appropriate time for maintenance. It's got to include appropriate time for training, underway training. We got to send a team down to take a look and certify you for operations, and then you're off to operate, okay? So it's that schedule discipline that will ensure that you've got all of those building blocks in place before we send you out to operate, all right? I think that the combination of those two things, a predictable set schedule that includes those fundamental elements, that's a big key to the success going forward in 2018.
Richardson says the Navy's new 7th Fleet commander, Vice Admiral Philip Sawyer, has just finished a 2018 schedule for ship deployments in line with those objectives. But sticking to the schedule is not a matter that's entirely within the Navy's control. As a separate strategic review, Navy Secretary Richard Spencer ordered after the 2017 accidents pointed out, demands for Navy presence and operations have been within the purview of regional combatant commanders and not the Navy itself ever since the command and control of U.S. military forces was restructured in 1986 as part of the Goldwater-Nichols Act. The Navy has been reluctant to say no to missions assigned by U.S. Pacific Command and the other COCOMs, even when it doesn't have sufficient ships or personnel to perform them within its own readiness standards. The authors of that review, former Chief of Naval Operations Gary Ruffhead and Defense Business Board Chairman Michael Baer, recommended that Congress and the Navy take what they said were negative consequences of Goldwater-Nichols, especially its emphasis on joint duty assignments. They said those assignments tend to take naval officers away from critical operational assignments, and subsequent Pentagon reorganizations bloated the Navy staff bureaucracy. That wave of Pentagon reforms 30 years ago was prompted in large part by a major military failure, the 1980 attempt to rescue American hostages in Iran, an operation known as Desert One. Richardson says he's actively looking for analogies between that incident and the very tough year the 7th Fleet faced in 2017.
From that disaster, from that crisis, we took the opportunity to stand up Special Operations Command, and now, the exquisite work that they do, right, that our SEALs and Delta Force and all of our special operators, that ethos, that warfighting professionalism was born from Desert One. And so the question is, are there any similarities between that and what we're facing today? And I would say that, from a very basic perspective, I would have to say yes. And we're going to use this opportunity to put in place measures that will make us a far more professional Navy. Right? We're going to learn from this, and we're going to be a lot deadlier at the end of 2018, a lot more operationally proficient by virtue of these measures we're putting in place. And I want to let you know, too, I'm not talking about something that's going to come about in 2030 or 2025. I'm talking about things that are going to be happening now that are going to get us there, very sure. This is a sense of urgency that we have to apply to this to continue to improve our operational proficiency and our warfighting ability.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.